Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dolat Industries Earnings Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Singh from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, it's our pleasure to host the management of Dolat Industries to discuss the second quarter earnings call. There will be an investor presentation from the management followed by Q&A. From the management side, we have Mr. Ankit Gupta, President Marketing, and Mr. Rajay Patodia, Chief Financial Officer. So request management to please take over the call from here.
Thank you, Varun. Good afternoon and a very happy Diwali to each one of you. Thank you for joining us today for the Dolat Industries Limited Q2 FY24 earnings call. I'll take you through the business and operational highlights of the quarter gone by, while our CFO, Mr. Ajay Patodia, will share the financial metrics. We are happy to state that the company achieved strong top and bottom line growth in Q2 FY24. Total income increased by 21% year-on-year and 26% quarter-on-quarter, reaching 413 crores in Q2 FY24, while the total volume grew by around 40% year-on-year. Net profit for the quarter grew significantly by 44% year-on-year and 71% quarter-on-quarter to 25 crores. We are pleased to see that the company has emerged stronger from the challenges of FY23. Raw material prices have stabilized and high cost inventory is no longer within the system. This is evident in the gross profit margin, which has increased by 189 basis points year-on-year to reach 33% in Q2 FY24. The cash conversion cycle in Q2 FY24 improved to 147 days, down from 167 days in Q2 FY23, largely attributed to a 14-day reduction in inventory. This reduction in inventory days can be primarily attributed to the removal of high-value inventory from the system. We anticipate a promising second half of FY24 driven by stable raw material prices and strong push towards premiumization, which will help us sustain and grow our margins. Our strategic decision to appoint Saif Ali Khan as the brand ambassador for Dolat Always has yielded good results, with economic segment revenue increasing by 39% year-on-year. Additionally, we have witnessed remarkable growth in volume in this segment, up by 52% year-on-year. Response to our recently launched Forcemax activewear and women's athleisure products in the quarter gone by has been overwhelmingly positive. The growth in Missy portfolio is 18% year-on-year in value terms and 17% year-on-year in volume terms. Goes a long way in reiterating our focus on increasing the share of non-men segment. Forcemax grew 50% year-on-year in both value and volume terms, which reinforces our commitment towards growth in higher margin segment. The strong growth witnessed in Missy as well as Forcemax portfolio gives us the confidence that the premium segment will continue to play a vital role in achieving sustained revenue and profitability growth in the future. In Q2 FY24, our advertising expenses amounted to rupees 32 crores, whereas in Q2 FY23, it was rupees 25 crores. Our annual target for advertising expenditure remains within the range of 6 to 6.5% of our top line. Turning our attention to Project Lakshya, in Q2 FY24, we welcomed 22 new distributors into this initiative, increasing our total distributor count to 271, a significant rise from 229 distributors we had in FY23. We are happy to report that Project Lakshya's contribution to company's domestic sales has grown from 19% in FY23 to 25% in H1 FY24. Presently, we have Lakshya distributors operating in 13 states, and our expansion efforts are ongoing with a target to bring around 65 to 70% distributors under Project Lakshya by FY26. In H1 FY24, our modern trade and e-commerce sales accounted for approximately 3% to our total sales. Our goal is to raise this figure to around 8% by FY26. Our commitment to sustainability remains a top priority, and we are dedicated to implementing eco-friendly practices across our operations. This includes a focus on reducing our carbon footprint and promoting responsible manufacturing processes. Driven by the success of Project Lakshya, technological advancement, product launches, drive towards premiumization, and the overall growth in the industry and the economy, we believe we are well poised for strong top and bottom line growth in the near future. Thank you all. Now I would hand over the call to our CFO, sir, Mr. Ajay Patodia, to talk about the financial metrics.
Thank you, Ankitji. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for joining the earnings call. I will give a brief overview of the financial numbers for the quarter before we open for question and answer. I hope everyone would have got a chance to look at the earnings presentation and the press release by now. While Ankitji has already covered the macro outlook, I will try to explain in more micro manner the financial performance of the quarter gone by. Our revenue from operation rose by 21% year-on-year basis to Rs. 413 crore in quarter 2 FY24 from Rs. 340 crore in quarter 2 FY23. Gross profit reached 135 crore, witnessing a strong year-on-year growth of around 29% and quarter-on-quarter increase of around 27%. Gross profit margin for Q2 FY24 stood at around 33% against 31% in Q2 FY23. Expanding by the 189 basis point year-on-year, the year-on-year margin expansion is indicative of the stability in raw material prices, which had posed a significant challenge to the industry during FY23. Operating EBITDA in Q2 FY24 showed strong growth, increasing by 38% year-on-year, reaching to Rs. 42 crore. The operating EBITDA margin for the quarter expanded by 121 basis point year-on-year to 10%. Profit after tax for the quarter witnessed a substantial 44% year-on-year increase, reaching 25 crore, with the PAT margin reaching 6%. Our commitment to strategic priorities and growth pillars remain unwavering as we focus on our long-term objective of achieving sustainable growth and profitability. With a strong quarter and focus on premiumization, we are confident in our ability to achieve robust revenue and profit growth in the current financial year as well as in the near future. Now, moving on the brand-wise contribution in quarter 2, FY24, our mid-segment Big Boss contributed around 36%. Our economic segment, Dollar Always, contributed around 38%. Our premium segment, Force NHT, contributed around 4%. Our women segment, Dollar Women, contributed around 9%. And for our winter segment, Thermal, contributed around 11%. With this, we now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take our first question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credent Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Thanks for the opportunity, and sir, congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. So couple of things, sir. One, on the volume, you have mentioned in your presentation that we had about 40% volume growth in quarter two. So just to understand, the pricing and the volumes, so if you could share details about the average selling price of FY 2023 and the average selling price in the current half, H1, and the volume growth overall in H1.
So, in quarter two, we did a volume growth of 40% with a value growth of overall revenue growth of 21%. If we compare the ASP of Q2 FY 2023 versus Q2 FY 2024, there has been a ASP decline of around 13%, 13.
Sure. And so currently, as we speak, as on, say, 30th September, the overall first 6 months average would be around 12% to 15% below the FY 2023 price. Is that fair assumption?
Yeah, round about.
Okay. So, sir, going ahead, in the previous call, you had given a guidance of revenue growth of about 11% to 12% and margins of around 11% to 12% on the EBITDA side. So, two things: one, do we still believe that guidance is achievable, considering the pricing pressure still continue in spite of a fantastic volume growth, the pricing still lags behind? And, typically, your second half, we need to grow around 18% to 20% to achieve that 11% to 12% guidance of revenue, in terms of value.
Yeah. So, the thing is that, if you look at the H1 numbers, we did an overall revenue growth of 5.23%, right? And, since the second half is always better than the first half, because Q4 is really heavy for our industry. Plus, in this particular fiscal year, we'll get Eid sale also in Q4, because Eid is around 8th of April, 2024. So, Q4 is supposed to be much more stronger, and we are very hopeful, and we are very optimistic about the fact that the guidance that we had given in the last call, we stick by it. Revenue should be somewhere around 12% to 13% kind of a growth, and EBITDA would be somewhere around 11% odd, approximately.
Great, sir. Sir, how are the booking for the thermal sales going on? What is the expectation on thermal?
So in Q2, we did a good thermal sales. We saw growth of 15%, and we are very hopeful that the winter should be good this year. Unlike the last couple of years, which went by, it was not that great, and we are very hopeful about good winters.
Sure. And with regards to, sir, pricing, one of our peers just mentioned that there was a price hike in October first week, but that has got reversed. So what is our take on this, and when do we expect some pricing movement on that side?
So, see, everyone in the industry wanted to take a price hike, given the kind of like everyone thought that the raw material prices have stabilized and everything, and it has been stabilized. We don't see any change right now. But since the yarn market is a bit soft right now, there's no change in the price, so we had to reverse the price hike, that's the thing.
Sure. And do we expect, how do we expect the pricing going ahead?
Currently, we don't see any major change happening in the prices.
Sure. And just one last question, sir. On the longer term basis, you have given a guidance of 2,000 crore for FY 2026 in terms of revenue. So that would be at the current prices, product prices?
Sorry?
Or at, you have given a guidance of 2,000 crore of sales for FY 2026. Is that guidance taking into account the current prices of the yarn and the products, or are we assuming some price inflation in that revenue guidance?
See, every year, every year we take some price hike to the tune of 5% to 6%. And taking that thing into account, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to achieve 2,000 crores by FY26.
Sure. And last thing on the working capital, longer term. So the Lakshya project in terms of addition of distributors and also with regards to channel financing, we have been doing some work on both these things for last about 1.5 years. It has been a bit slow in terms of execution, but it seems to be picking up. So in terms of our working capital on the debtor days, what is your expectation that how should we see the working capital more so on the debtor days going ahead in, say, next 2 quarters, next 6-8 quarters? Where do you see the debtor days coming down to?
In couple of years, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to bring it down to somewhere around 70-75 days.
Mm-hmm. And given the current situation and current execution, we are quite hopeful that we should be around 75 days in terms of debtor days.
Yeah. So a couple of years back, if you would have seen our overall debtor days, it was somewhere around 120-125 days.
Mm.
And we brought it down to 108 days currently. So it is majorly due to the Lakshya project and the dealer financing scheme that we are running. Currently, we have around 300 distributors who are already enrolled into distributor financing scheme. So as soon as more and more distributors come into this particular program, we are very hopeful that we'll be able to reduce the debtor days overall.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best and happy Diwali to you and the entire team. Thank you, sir.
Happy Diwali to you too. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prerna Junjunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on strong set of numbers. I wanted to understand the competitive intensity in the market for both mass and premium categories, whether it continues to remain high or it has become milder. What is your sense on competitive intensity?
See, our industry is based off organized players as well as unorganized players. And at our particular level, our peer groups, if we see, we are like 5 players at a almost similar level. So the competition has always been there and it will be there. So the intensity is just as it was the last quarter. So it's not that the competition has reduced or the intensity of competition has reduced. It's just that how your strategy works out in the market.
Okay, understood. So if I want to understand the demand for athleisure, I understand Postnet has grown by 50%, but if you could give some color on your athleisure space, how it is improving with the time?
So athleisure is doing good. Currently, it is contributing around 12-13% to our total sales. And it's not that, the growth has been good. So in Postmates, majority of sales, if we talk about in terms of value, Postmates athleisure is doing really very good.
Okay.
Which has helped us to increase our ASP from 250 rupees to 285 rupees. So.
Okay, you've taken price hike in sportswear at leisure?
No, it's just the product mix which has changed. So during winter, so a lot of hoodies, sweatshirts, the thermals in Postnet. So all those sales taken into account in the second quarter, the ASP rose from 250 to 285.
Okay. And I was also going through receivable days. Earlier participant also asked in the same. In COVID times, we saw good reduction in receivable days. I wanted to understand why it has increased again to some extent. Not fully, but yes, to some extent.
So in terms of number of days, Prerna, it has been the same. During COVID time, it was somewhere around 99 days, but currently it is 108 days. So it's a matter of 9 days. And mostly if you see, in absolute terms, if you see, the overall debtors that is outstanding on our balance sheet, it's almost the revenue that we did in Q2.
Okay. And if I want to understand the winter wear demand, how is it likely to be, in your opinion, this year?
See, we are contemplating that it should be good, and given the forecast of the weather that we are seeing every day, monitoring it, the team is very positive about it. And if the winter season is, so in Q2, we did a 15% growth in our thermal sales as compared to last year Q2. And if the season goes well, Q3 should be really good for us.
Okay. Was there any large inventory last year? Or, I mean, were they low on inventory last year? Just wanted to understand what happened last year as well. I mean, do
So there was a lot of inventory that, yeah, so there was a lot of, there was some inventory which was there in the system, which will get cleaned up this particular fiscal.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir, and happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. We take the next question from the line of Devanshu Bansal from Emkay Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers and best wishes for the upcoming festive. Sir, I wanted to check from premium innerwear side, the players there are not seeing such level of volume growth. In fact, that segment has been under quite a bit of pressure. So wanted to check, is the market seeing some down trading that is helping us deliver such strong volume growth? According to you, what are the drivers actually that are helping us?
So, Swanshu, as per us, there is no downgrading which is happening. It's just that, see, we deal into basic products and it's a second skin, right? People can postpone the purchase but can't do away with it. And if a person is wearing a Jockey, he won't downgrade himself to maybe Big Boss, or a person wearing Big Boss won't downgrade to the economy range of products that we manufacture. So I don't think, on the basis of the feedback that we get from the market, it's not the downgrading that's happening. It's just a postponement, some amount of postponement in the premium segment. But luckily for us, Force Next did really well in Q2. So we did a volume growth of somewhere around 50%.
Right. And when were these price cuts, which are implied by this 40% volume growth and 20% revenue growth, when were these price cuts taken by the players like you?
So the price cuts started happening from the end of Q1 last fiscal. And we did a price cut till April of this fiscal.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the quantum of the price hikes and all that you have taken between this period?
So during COVID, there was a price hike of somewhere around 18-20%.
I meant price cut that you have taken between Q1 end and Q1 FY23 and Q4 FY23.
So if you see our the Q1 of last fiscal was at its peak, and if you compare it with the Q1 of this fiscal, with respect to the ASP, there has been a decline of somewhere around 15%.
15%. Okay. Okay. And what is the kind of RM inflation you are seeing? Obviously, you mentioned that the raw material is on a softer side. So is it like on a declining trend, or is there some level of inflation that you are seeing on a YoY basis?
Currently, there has been no changes in the prices, but the yarn manufacturers are a bit stressed because of the low exports. So that's why we are saying that the raw material prices are on a softer side. And but currently we don't see any change happening in the yarn market as well.
Got it, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. That's it from me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, sir, can you highlight the volume growth for Lakshya project in Q2?
So on a half yearly basis, the volume growth was 32%. Vis-a-vis in our non-Lakshya, like overall at a company level, on a half yearly basis, we did a volume growth of somewhere around 19% to 20%.
Okay, so like in Q1 we did 13% and H1 you're saying 32, right? It's the same number, right? Distributors that were there as of H1 last year and now.
Yes, yes, yes. On a like-to-like basis.
Yeah. Secondly, sir, can you give an ASP ladder of, you know, what kind of ASP we have between various categories, like say man, woman, fourth and STU side is around 250, 280 rupees. So on similar lines, what would be the ASP for different categories of products?
So if you talk about dollar man, the ASP would be somewhere around 80 rupees.
Okay.
For our regular products, the economy range of products, dollar always would be somewhere around 50 rupees.
Hmm.
Missy would be 110.
Okay.
And Postmax is around 285.
Okay.
Then
and
we have socks, which is around 32.
Sorry?
Socks, the socks category that we make, it's around 35 rupees.
Okay. And sir, one thing over here, so I think we did this whole brand exercise of either rather than going at individual brands, putting it under categories of man, woman, junior, always and all that. But if I look at our advertisements and branding now, even though we have like the branding is say dollar men, but the major portion of the branding still goes to Big Boss. Say, dollar man is there, but the major visibility is still Big Boss. So I'm trying to understand like the whole philosophy of going after category and not individual brand that is still not reflecting in a brand, you know, the way we are still marketing and branding. So we wanted your thoughts on that.
So it has been done consciously. See, we have been advertising Big Boss for quite a long time. Like it has all around 20 years. So from somewhere around 2003-2004, we started advertising for Big Boss. And people know Big Boss, like Fit Hai Boss, the tagline, right? So if you do a brand architecture also, you have to be sensible about one thing, that the consumer does not get lost in a way. So when we did the survey, dollar came out to be much more stronger. But at the same time, there were a set of consumers who knew Big Boss. So now we don't use Big Boss as a sub-brand, we use it as a collection. So ultimately, we are confined ourselves into six categories right now. But we'll be using in our advertisement dollar man, Big Boss, because now Big Boss acts as a collection and Akshay Kumar has been retained for advertising into dollar man, Big Boss only.
Okay. Right. So like in the longer run, this would still stay relevant. Like you're not trying to like fade away, like it won't be fade out, like Big Boss, it will still be there.
Not in near future, but yeah, maybe 5-7 years down the line, we may think of just writing dollar man instead of dollar man, Big Boss.
Right. And lastly, sir, again on receivables, so, I mean, if I look at, say, last year H1, the Lakshya scheme was contributing around 16-17%. That has jumped to about 25-26%. But still, the receivables are still, I mean, at similar levels or at higher levels. So, we are not really seeing any kind of benefit, at least quantitative in terms of results, of Lakshya distributors having a substantially lower receivables day. So, I mean, what is not helping are we seeing much more higher receivables day on the remaining distributors versus last year, or like what is not adding up over here?
See, it's a, reducing your overall working capital days is a process. It won't happen in a...
No, I'm talking specifically about receivables because...
So, yeah, but as I've told you that 2 years back, the kind of receivable days we were into and reducing it to 108 days currently, the it was mostly contributed by the Lakshya distributors and the DSA scheme that we have. And out of 300... DFS distributors, like the distributors who got enrolled in themselves into distributor financing scheme, most of them are in Lakshya project only. So maybe that's why a major impact has not been seen right now. But yeah, in a couple of years, you would see a drastic difference.
So what would be currently the average receivables day for Lakshya distributors versus our normal distributors, a broad range?
So... average in Lakshya distributor is somewhere around 70-75 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And would this number also for Lakshya?
Mr. Ankush, may we request you to join the question queue, sir? We have several participants waiting for
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. I'll get back to
you. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Darshan from Crown Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening team. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So just wanted to know, sir, I think we've done very well this quarter. So are we, you know, maybe is there a chance that, you know, we can do even better going into the Q3 because with the winter coming back, which we are probably going to see after a few years, so can we, you know, maybe push our guidance a bit higher? That is what I was saying. Are we being a bit conservative in our guidance of, you know, double digit growth? Can it, you know, surpass that? That's my first question. And the margin trajectory with more premium products, we've already reached double digits right now. So can there be further improvement because of Thermalware as that's a higher margin product, right? So just wanted a clarification on that, like how much better margin is Thermalware able to provide to us.
So we always believe in under-promising and over-achieving. So we won't be revising our overall guidance. It will be same as we told in the last call itself. Revenue growth, we'll stick to it. Revenue growth we are seeing around 12-13% and EBITDA would be somewhere around approximately 11% this particular fiscal.
Okay, but fair enough, sir. But then in terms, is it possible that we will be able to over deliver looking at the conditions, or do you think the market conditions are not that are not conducive for that part of growth, sir? Is that like a fair assumption?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
So I meant that agreed we want to under-promise and over-deliver, but in a, can we be a bit optimistic with our current scenario? Is that may, because we are having a good market condition with stabilization of raw material?
If the winter season is good, then we can assume that we can do a bit better and we can be optimistic about the revenue.
Perfect. And just also wanted to know, in terms of our margin trajectory, currently we are at around, we're guiding for 11%. So year on year, how would we see it to grow? Maybe 1% could see increase going forward with our, you know, working capital as well as other premiumization efforts. That's a fair assumption to make, sir. Hello.
Given the volatile nature of the raw materials that we have been facing for past couple of years, so it would be very hard to actually comment on that right now. But yeah, in a couple of years, we should reach a steady state where our EBITDA margins can be somewhere around 14-15% kind of a level.
Okay. I'll say this one last question in terms of pricing. So as we said, we had around a 15% decline. So just wanted to get a sense for what is leading to that decline. Are your consumers becoming more price sensitive, or to push demand, we have to take cuts or?
Actually, your voice is a bit muffled, so if you can be just a bit more clear. And there's some background noise also.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that.
I hope this is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just wanted to get a sense in terms of pricing that I think are consumers rejecting prices because of inflation problems that they are facing, or can we sustain, or to increase demand, we have to keep prices low? So how is it working out in terms of pricing scenario that you feel that, okay, our pricing change will be able to take hikes, or ASPs will increase due to a product mix change only? So just wanted to get a sense in that.
So currently, they are not thinking of taking any kind of a hike. There might be a change in the product mix, which will lead to ASP growth. But at a consumer level, see, they don't. It doesn't matter if you increase or decrease rupees one or two. But at a retail level, retailer psychology or a channel partner psychology, and there are also a number of factors which play an important role. Our industry comprises of 50% unorganized market in men's segment. And there are a lot of regional players in the economy range of segment, in the mid-premium also, who are stronger in their particular region. Plus, there are five players, three in the listed, two in the unlisted. So everyone has to be on the same page in order to increase the price in the market, right? Suppose if you increase the price and the rest of the players who have a similar kind of a product that you have, it will really cause a problem in the market, and the channel partner sentiments could be hurt through that. So we are not taking any price hike, or it's not planned right now. But yeah, product mix changes will definitely show some amount of ASP changes.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, sir, for all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to please limit your question to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Henil Visaria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So my question is, what is the current status of EBOs, exclusive business outlets? As per the presentation, we can see that currently we have 18 EBOs. But what we are seeing in the near future for.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. Sir, your voice is sounding very muffled. If you are on a headset, I would request you to switch to the handset, please.
Hello.
Hello. Henil, sir, are you there? The line for the current questioner, Henil Visaria, is disconnected. We move on to the next question from the line of Rehan from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
You're audible.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I had a question regarding such a great volume growth. If you could just brief or tell us on which segment you saw the most growth from, and if there's any, if you see any reason for the same.
So we saw a good growth in our premium segment post-Nexx. It was to the tune of 50%.
Okay. Any reason for the same?
We also saw good growth in our economy range of products to the tune of 42% in terms of value and 57% in terms of volume. So it's majorly attributed to the new TVC commercial that we came up with using Saif Ali Khan as the brand ambassador for economy range of products. And this was the first time also where we advertised for post-Nexx in the cinema halls and everywhere. We made a new TVC for post-Nexx also, with normal models, not a known celebrity face. But yeah, I think advertisement has impacted the sales growth and in a positive manner.
Okay. And second question would be, any outlook, you since women wear segment also is a high margin business for you guys, any percentage of revenue you think it could be potentially in the coming years? Like, do you see it to grow significantly, or, you know, any form of guidance on the same?
So in a women segment, we have Dollar Woman Missy, and it's doing, it is also doing good. We saw a growth of around 18% in terms of value and 25%. Yeah, and around 25% in terms of volume. So year on year basis,
okay.
So in the quarter two, and so we are very hopeful that for next 2 to 3 years we'll see a good growth coming in from Postnext and Misty. Apart from that, this particular quarter we did in Thermals also we saw a growth of around 25% in terms of volume. And 15% in terms of value.
Okay. So these would be a higher margin product, right? Thermals and women.
Yeah, these are the higher margin product ranges that we have. Apart from that, the activewear range that we launched in Postnext, the athleisure category, these are some of the product categories that we are very hopeful about in the near future. That will increase the overall ASP at a company level.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Marcel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is that, like, what was the main reason? So the reason you already explained, like, as it had been increased of turnover in the like quarter gone by. So will we sustain this kind of 412 crore rupees of turnover in the December quarter also? And keeping in mind that, like, in corresponding December quarter in 2022, our sales was only 285 crore.
So, the quarter three really depends upon how the winter season goes. So, it is very hard to tell whether how the quarter would look like, since last year the quarter was not good because of the poor winters and winter coming in very late, so all the purchases had been stopped by the channel partners. And this year, we are very hopeful, and the best thing that we can do is hope for a good weather, good winter season to pass by. But we are very hopeful about our third quarter.
Okay. And my second question that regarding this, the prices of raw material, as you said, the price of raw material is softening as compared to Q2 also. So where do you stand in terms of price of raw material currently vis-a-vis the average price of Q2? And did we take any price cut or price hike in our product since 1st of October?
So in Q2, we didn't take any price hike.
In Q3, I'm saying, in Q3.
In Q3, we are not taking any price changes, price cuts or price hikes. We are not taking anything.
And the price of raw material, how are the price of raw material are currently faring as compared to every price of September 22?
So it is at a stable level currently. From past 6 months, we have not seen any much change in the yarn prices. And if we compare Q2 last year versus Q2 this year, we saw overall ASP degrowth of 13%.
Okay, and this one important question you mentioned in the PPT, that the export revenue in FY26 will be 30 countries and 11%. So what do you mean by 11%? 11% of the target turnover? So it means our export revenue will be 200 crore rupees? So, sorry, so 220 crore rupees, because our target turnover for FY26 is 2,000 crore rupees.
Yeah, we really want to reach to that particular stage where our export increases. By FY26, we really want to reach 30 countries with our total revenue contribution being 11% to our total sales.
But sir, like from the list of the country you mentioned, I can see that you are present everywhere in GCC, but the main country is Saudi Arabia, where there is population, Saudi Arabia population is like more than double of the entire five countries. But we are not there in Saudi Arabia. We are there in UAE, UAE population only 9 million, but the Saudi population is 36 million.
We are trying to explore Saudi as well. Getting a good channel partner is a major task. So in exports, if you don't have a good channel partner who can partner with you and spread your products or market your products as his own, you won't get any success over there. So in Africa also, we have been trying from past couple of years, and now we are getting good partners and we have started the African market. In fact, African market is also not bad. It's a really great market with a lot of the consumption level is really very high. Plus, in the kids segment, we will be launching Baba suit and from zero, from newborn to 3 years, 4 years kind of a product range. And this kids range does really well in the Middle East region and the African market. So it has a huge scope.
But the main thing is that
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. May we request you to join the question queue, sir?
Let me complete my question.
Sir, there are several participants waiting for the turn.
Major economy of US and Europe, where we can get a, where we can fetch a much high price, that is still virgin. So like, what's your plan to make an inroad in the US and the European market?
European market is really very different. In fact, if you talk about the body type that the European people have vis-a-vis the people in the Middle East or India, the patterns, the shapes is very different. Plus the climatic conditions also, they use more of man-made fibers, the polyester or a poly-cotton kind of a mix, and we deal into pure cotton kind of a material. So it's a really very different market with a completely different product ranges. For that, you have to have a very different set of product ranges which sell only in the European region. So that's why we are not considering Europe as of now. But yeah, in near future, after we cover Saudi and the African states or the US, then we'll be able to move to the European region quite effectively.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're requested to please limit your question to two per participant. We take the next question from the line of Anik Mitra from Phenonix Solution Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, audible, sir.
Good afternoon and wish all of you a very happy Diwali ahead. My first question is, sir, you have referred regarding premiumization. So at this point of time, if I'm not wrong, your contribution of premium product is around 4%. Is my understanding correct?
No, sir. In premiumization, we mean the high EBITDA level product. In premiumization category, we include Force NXT, our premium segment, plus thermal segment, plus dollar woman, because all three category has higher level of EBITDA.
Okay. So what sort of EBITDA?
Like in thermal, we have the EBITDA of around 15 to 18%, and in Missy, that is dollar woman segment, it is around same 14 to 17%, and in premium segment, like Force NXT, it is around 18 to 20%. So it is. All the three categories are term under our premiumization category.
Okay. Sir, what is the roadmap? Like, do you have a plan to increase the contribution of these products in the pie, or how do you look at it?
Currently, Force NXT contribute around 4% of our premium segment. So we aspire to increase to the 8% of our total contribution by FY26. In our women segment, it is around contribute around 12 to 13% overall contribution in our revenue, and generally launch new products in women segment. Like we going to launch active wear in women segment. We already launched athleisure segment, so they get the good response, and we hope that and we last year we also launched lingerie in our dollar women segment. So we get that from this we get the good EBITDA margin, and our total premiumization product is increased. In next year we are also going to launch kids segment under dollar junior category, and they are also under the category of 15 to 18% margin EBITDA margin level. So we expect that our total premiumization category increased by FY26 to 33%. From current year it is 27%.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Jatinder Agarwal from Relax Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
So I'm sorry if there is some disturbance because I'm on the road. Two things. One, when I look at, you know, Project Lakshya, right, it's almost like a quarter of our sales today. And you still seem to give a guidance that it will be about 70% by FY26. If the benefits of Project Lakshya are so visible, why is the strategy not being more aggressive? It's already like 6 years, I think 5 or 6 years, we are already into the project. And we have another guidance of 2 more years to reach 70%. Can you explain that?
So, the thing is that the problem is the intense competition that we have from the peer groups. And in our particular industry, what happens is that having 5 players of a similar level, and you can't actually afford to take a hit on your shelf space. So this particular project requires a lot of field work, and it takes around 3 to 4 months to get a distributor stabilized under the project. Until then, we see some amount of gaps which happens in the market, and everyone is just looking to increase their shelf space also. So that's why instead of having a dent in our overall revenue, we took a call to first penetrate into the gray areas, stabilize there, and then move into the areas where the distributors are much more stronger and bigger in size in terms of sales revenue that they give us. So that's why it's taking a bit of time, but rest assured we are very focused about this particular project and make it a new success.
Okay. And my second question is related to the EBOs, right? I'm not sure how many EBOs we had last year this same quarter, but are you also able to track what type of same store sales growth is coming in some of these EBOs? I know the volumes are very small, the numbers itself are small, but is there any, what type of feedback are those EBOs giving back to you? If you could share some of your thoughts, that would be very helpful. Those are the two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, so the thing is that we started opening EBOs somewhere in 2021. To the end, towards the end of 2021, so October 21 was our first EBO which opened in Ayodhya. Currently, we are standing at 18 EBOs. The major learning that we got in this particular fiscal, like during the first half, because all the EBOs were kept opening till February or March of last fiscal. So, but the major feedback or the major understanding or the major lesson that we learned about this particular retail program or opening the EBO is that you need to have a higher ASP products first. The product mix should be very different from what you give it to the general trade. So we are working upon that. That's the reason why we have not opened any EBOs in the last 6 months' time. So majorly we are working on that, trying to create a few products which would be exclusive to our EBOs. Currently, okay, we have introduced 4 to 5 products that we have manufactured only for EBO, the polo t-shirts. We are getting a good response. Last month only it hit the store, and we are getting good response. It's just that we need to crack the particular product mix or kind of freshness or a newer product which does not go in the general trade where there's no conflict. Because as you know that in our general trade, things don't sell on MRP basis. And in EBO, the consumer is always asking for like a promotions or some sort of discounting that they expect. Because in general trade, the mandis, they don't sell the products on MRP basis. So that's the problem that we are facing. But we are, as soon as we are able to fix that, and we'll start opening more and more stores.
Any idea how many stores we'll have by March end or
I'm
maybe
sorry
next
to interrupt
year?
You, sir. Maybe request so
by,
to join the question queue.
By March end, I think we should reach from 18. We should reach to somewhere around 28 to 30 stores.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on a great result, sir. My question is also on the line of the EBOs in that I wanted to know what's the revenue per store and the average transaction value in these EBOs, if you can give us some idea.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Can you tell us about the revenue per store and the average transaction value in the EBOs?
Yeah, so first of all, I would really, I would apologize for my last statement that I made, and I would like to clarify that up till March, the number of stores would be somewhere around 21 to 22 and not 28 to 30 stores. Regarding the average ticket size, the average ticket size is somewhere around 1200 rupees on an average. And on an average, each store sale is somewhere around 2.5 lakh. And there are a couple of stores which is above 4 lakh, 5 lakh as well. But on an average, it's somewhere around 2 lakhs.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Karan Sanwal from Nivesha Investment Advisory. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, congratulations on good set of numbers. I have a clarification, like, do we manufacture all the products that we sell or do we outsource it as well?
Your voice is muffled actually. Can you be...
So my question is, do we manufacture all the products that we sell or do we outsource a portion of it?
No, so we don't procure goods on FOB basis. It's just that all the intermediary processes are being outsourced to the job worker. And up to a tune of 25%, we have in-house manufacturing. Like whether it be spinning or knitting, processing, cutting and stitching. So cutting is mostly in-house, a few contractors outside, but they work solely for us only. Because cutting is a major process where we really need to focus and where the quality of the pattern gets determined.
And also, how are we planning to scale up? Are we planning to scale up the in-house operations or any capex plans that we have for a year or maybe 2-3 years down the line?
So currently, we don't have any plans to expand our in-house manufacturing. It's on a job work basis only. And in our industry, it's very simple to add job workers and increase your overall production level.
Okay, good. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to know what would be the share of outerwear to the total turnover.
It is 81%. Inner wear 81% and outerwear is 19%.
And okay. Where do we see this going to in next 2 years' time, outerwear?
So next 3 years' time, it would be somewhere around 25%.
Right.
Because in terms of volume, what happens is innerwear sells in bulk. So the trade packs are a pack of 10 or so. So that's why to make a huge impact on the volume, it would be very difficult. That's why from 19 to 25%. But in terms of value, in terms of the overall ASP growth, we'll see a good difference in.
So what is the share in value terms is what I wanted.
So in terms of value, just a second, just give us a second. I think it should be somewhere around 21-22% kind of a thing. We don't have the figure ready right now in handy. So we'll get back to you like after the call. Maybe.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I take the opportunity to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us. And thank you once again. Happy Diwali to everyone of you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.